p.m. And I would like to ask Mr. Scott Downing to say the pledge.
To the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. The meeting actually started at 7:07 p.m. The recorder didn't pick that up, so we have to make sure. And April 1st, call to order again, call to order the meeting, regular meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees on April 1st, 2010, 7:07 p.m. Welcome, and thank you everyone for coming. I'd like to take something out of order here, and we have an honoree here tonight who has been an exemplary volunteer for our zoning department, and it is Mr. Scott Downing, and we have a cake to thank Scott in a little way.
Patty cake.
For his service. Scott has served on our zoning commission for 15 years. Needless to say, the zoning commission is not an easy commission to serve on. And he has done a terrific job, and you have chaired the commission now, Scott, since, is it 2003? So his knowledge of zoning, reviewing plans, I mean, you do so much that I should have some of the other zoning members stand up and tell me. Joe, would you just list some of the things that Scott Jill McIntosh has is coming forth. She's on the zoning commission with.
I think he's been willing to spend his time to get involved in all the projects because not only do we review plans, but we also part of what Scott has done is meet as a representative of the zoning commission with the zoning officer, with applicants to answer questions in between meetings to straighten out details, etc. He's also participated in many walkabouts, as some of us have, but he's been a consistent contributor of his time.
Yes.
And by virtue of his the length of his term, he's knowledgeable. He's learned all of the ins and outs of our code, and he's seen the code change. Mm-hmm. And he's seen our comprehensive code, comprehensive plan change. He was involved in the original, or the one from 99. Mm-hmm. And he was involved in our plans in 04 and then the final culmination with our newest plan. So, I mean, it's almost a loss for words to say how many contributions, and part of it has been his even-handedness. He's been able to be an even hand as a chair and allow opinions on all sides to be offered and evaluated.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Wilhelm is also on the Zoning Commission, Leo Wilhelm.
Scott, I don't know what more to add other than what Joe said, other than he's also been very good about bringing new people along, teaching them the ropes, so to speak, as alternates in their first year or two. We've got, obviously, a new alternate now. We've got a new permanent member to the board. And his ability to bring people along, to train them, to get them to understand our responsibilities and the code, has been very valuable. I know it was valuable to me, and that provides a continuity to the zoning commission also. That's been very valuable to the township and the trustees.
Right, right. Thank you. Do the trustees wish to add anything?
I'd just like to add, during the 15 years that Scott's been involved, I think Genoa Township's probably had that was a huge growth spurt for
That's
the
right.
township.
Oh, I'm glad you, yes.
And
yes.
When you look at the little slogan we have, a nice place to live, I think a lot of that credit for that slogan goes to Scott and the Zoning Commission during that time, because it took a lot of tough decisions, and sometimes you say no, and you negotiate, and you compromise, and you work things out, and I think a lot of this, the reason people like Genoa Township is because of the work you folks have done. We appreciate that.
Good point.
And I would echo those remarks. 1995 doesn't seem that long ago, but the township did look very different back in 1995. So I appreciate all the good work that Scott did, kind of shepherding us through that time. Keeping this community a nice place to live. I know we're at, 85% build out? I know you guys will correct me. 85? 80?
85.
We're about there.
When I started, we only had 2,700 people living in
there. When you started, there were 2,700 yes. people.
So you've seen us through the storm, and we're pretty much at the end of major development here in the township, and thanks to you, it's still the best place to live in Central Ohio. So thank you.
That's right. We would like to present this plaque to you, Scott, in appreciation for your service and dedication to the Zoning Commission for over 15 years. Thank you very much.
I appreciate everything everybody said about me today. It's been an interesting job. Over the years, we went from what we consider a farm town with a few farmhouses and a few big farms. And when I started, the only real development in this township was the lakes. And places like Kroger's and places like Home Depot and Medallions were just barely just breaking ground. And over the years, we've done everything that everywhere everybody lives, we've done, except mm-hmm. For the basic the lakes development. Everything else we've done from the ground up. And when I drove through the township today, just on the way here, just to kind of look at some things. And you always like to look back and say whether you did a decent job or you didn't do a decent job. And I think overall, with all the people that were on the board that did the majority of the work, I think we did a nice job. We have a diverse community, mm-hmm. With large homes, small homes, and I think that the majority of the people that live here think that the community was brought up the way that a community they'd like to live in it. So I appreciate everybody's comments, and I'll still be doing some things for the township over the next year before I move. And I've always appreciated Genoa Township for everything they've done for me, and I'm glad I could do something to pay back.
Thank you so much, Scott. We look forward to using your expertise until you move, actually, even in whatever capacity that may be. Thank you. Thank you very much. And make certain now, everybody, there's cake, like I said. So we do have a new alternate with us tonight.
Could you introduce Jamie?
Jamie Q is out here in the audience tonight. I'd like him to introduce himself and be recognized. Do you have any quick comments or anything? No, you're good. Not yet. You got plenty of time.
Yeah.
So, that's right.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you coming out and being with us this evening.
Great.
And Connie Goodman has joined the board. She had to leave, I believe, but she joined the board as she was an alternate and is now a full-time member of, not full-time, well, I guess regular yes. member of the board. Right. Thank you. All right. Fiscal report, Mr.
Yes.
Myers.
Not a whole lot tonight. I have four items. There are three sets of minutes for your approval. Regular meeting of February 4th, regular meeting of February 18th, and a special meeting of March 8th. You guys reviewed those minutes.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I'll go ahead and offer a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the regular trustee meeting held February 4th, 2010.
Second.
Is there a second? Second.
Discussion?
Roll call. Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the regular trustee meeting held February 18th, 2010.
Seconded.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Madam Chair, I will also offer a motion to approve the meeting minutes from the special trustee meeting, which was held March 8th, 2010.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfani?
Aye.
Motion carries. Minutes are approved.
Okay. The next thing I have is supplemental appropriation, moving funds from one account to another, $22,382.60 for road salt expense, moving that into the operating account for road salt operating supplies.
Okay.
We're done with that, right, Bob? No more salt, right?
No more salt.
No more salt. Yeah, last time we wondered if there might be our last meeting. I think we know now there won't be. Okay. I'll entertain a motion then to approve the supplemental appropriation.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to retroactively authorize the fiscal officer to process the following supplemental appropriation to Fund 2031-760-720-0000 from 2031-330-420-0007 in the amount of $22,382.60 for operating supplies, road salt.
Is there a second?
Second.
Is there a discussion?
Pat, could you just elaborate real quick? I mean, because didn't we approve road salt at the last meeting as well? Is this in addition to that, or is this?
This is moving the money to take care of that from one account to this account.
Okay.
Because that account had a certain amount of money in for road salt. We approved the fact we had to buy more.
Right.
And I'm moving that money over retroactively.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying. Okay.
Let me clarify a little bit more quickly. We appropriate a certain amount of money, it goes to the county, those are appropriations. If we want to change those appropriations in any way from one fund to another, we do it this way, and then the county's reaffirmed to that as well.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
It does not affect the bottom line.
Thank you.
The last thing I'll mention, and I'll be done, is I don't have the March financials today because it's April 1st, and
right.
I have the 5th, 3rd statements and stuff. So I'll have those for you on the 15th for your approval.
Okay.
And lastly, I'm sorry. The audit, we think we'll be able to have that meeting in the next 10 days, that post-audit meeting with the auditor's office about what they found, what we want to talk about, what we want to respond to, and then the report will come out by end of April, the first week of May. So we're anxiously awaiting that feedback.
Okay.
Thank you.
Is that it? Okay.
Yes,
thank you. I believe we have public comment tonight.
Pardon? Take a vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. We have to take a vote.
Oh, I'm sorry. Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Thanks.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfani?
Aye.
Thank you.
I screwed it up with the questions.
Thank you. Yeah. All right. Public comment tonight.
Yeah, I didn't know I was supposed to prepare a statement, or I would have done a formal one.
Oh, you don't know. Oh, did you sign in?
Yes, I did.
Oh, great. No, if you could just...
speak in the microphone?
Yes, state your name and address. That'd be great. And you don't have to have anything prepared. You may speak extemporaneously.
Well, we got guys wearing flip-flops.
You're asking me to wing it.
I'm a little tired. Two comments. First, Scott, I'd like to congratulate you on your 15 years. I don't know how you've done that for 15 years. So that's a lot of work to do. And the other comment I wanted to make, I don't know who's the head of maintenance in... You. Thank you. You guys did a great job plowing this year. They plowed. Really. It's not a joke. I live on the loop in Camara, and for the first couple years when they plowed, they would throw it in my driveway. This year, they went the other way. It was awesome. Instead of 6 feet of snow at the end, I had this little six-inch thing. So tell me, I was out there like this.
It rotates every year because of tires.
Yeah. Next year, I'll be like this.
No.
Anyway, thanks for letting me speak for a few minutes. Really, I didn't prepare anything, but I will say this. I live in Vinmar Farms, obviously. About a year ago, I got this idea that, and I've heard comments from a few people that have come to visit or other neighbors, that we feel like we're missing something in Vinmar Farms. And so I did some driving around the community, other neighborhoods, and the idea came into my mind that what we're missing is street trees or the addition of some type of trees in our neighborhood. So I did a little bit of research, looked up some stuff. OSU has some pretty good information out there on the websites. I provided that information to Joe. We've gone back and forth on emails just trying to get some general ideas together of what the plan is. But we're seeking zoning approval, some type of a prototype program that Vinmar could establish for Genoa. to incorporate street trees. I believe Vinmar Farms is the only planned community without street trees currently. Mm-hmm. The two communities that sit right back here both have street trees in them. I think at the time that Dominion did the concept drawing, which I did not bring because a neighbor of ours took my drawing and scanned it for everybody to see at the, in the mm-hmm. neighborhood, but that's the idea that we're running with. Mm-hmm. It essentially boils down to one tree per property. Right now we're pushing for maples because they seem to be the hardiest in both disease and storm resistance. They do the least amount of damage potentially to any types of sidewalks. And I do want to kind of point out something regarding sidewalk damage in our neighborhood. Vinmar has a very unusual, what they call park strip. It's 8 feet wide on the loop that goes around the neighborhood, which if you plant the tree in the center, even over a very long period of time, the potential for sidewalk damage in our neighborhood is very minimal. Not to mention when Dominion started the neighborhood, the initial loop, do you have a drawing? When you drive into the neighborhood, Dominion actually planted trees right here along the pond. There's actually 6 to 8 maples mm-hmm. already there, and they're already close to 20 feet tall. So what we're trying to do is continue that idea around. And I feel personally as a homeowner that's suffering from property devaluation currently. And we suffer especially hard because it's a production home. It's a production home neighborhood, which gets hit harder than most custom type neighborhoods. I think the addition of street trees will help the aesthetics and therefore help property values increase, stabilize property values. And really, it boils down to me, is competition. I'm not selling my home right now, but the other houses that are for sale, if somebody drives in the neighborhood and thinks, wow, this is a nice looking community, they're going to want to buy, which stabilizes prices, which increases our property value. And I've put a lot of money in. I know Jennifer back there has put a lot of money in her property. We just think it's a good asset and a good addition to the neighborhood. That's really it. And we're open to ideas on how to incorporate it. But
so this would be, I guess, in reading our materials, this would be certainly voluntary because you can't force anybody to put
trees. Well, we've done a little bit of mini survey around the neighborhood. And right now, I think we got about 80% approval or participation, I should say. Mm-hmm. It would really depend on how we write the zoning or how the zoning's approved. If it's required, I'm sure there's ways to work around getting everybody involved. Mm-hmm. One, we'd approach Dominion and say, look, this has been revised. Any new houses that have to be built require this type of tree planted XYZ. The initial cost estimate we've looked at, a couple of guys we've called can get package deals. We're talking about 122 trees total, so it's not substantial. We're looking at about $150, maximum $175 per household, and that includes planting and everything. So it's really not a huge investment mm-hmm. for the individual homeowner. But people that have difficulty for whatever reason, I'm sure that we can figure out a way to work around it.
What any particular kind of maple?
Celebration maple. Really, maples as a whole, there's Celebration Sugar Red, Sunset Silver, and there's hybrids of all those. Okay. Mm-hmm. Typically, you'll see at nurseries Reds, Sunsets, and Celebrations. I believe, Jen, you've looked into Celebration maples. Mm-hmm. They're all very hardy. They grow slow. Their root ball does not generally go in a horizontal direction. Mm-hmm. It typically goes down. I have one in my neighborhood, or in my property that I planted 3 years ago, and it's gotten large in 3 years. It's grown at a nice steady rate, but I don't have any root problems in my yard from it. Mm-hmm. And I've got a very large raised bed in my backyard where it sits. So maples just seem to work. I think those are the two neighborhoods to the south of us have maples in them. Typically, that's what a developer will plant. Sometimes they'll plant fruit trees. I'm not swayed either way, but I'm not convinced that like a Bradford pear is the right way to go, because you saw what happened to Westerville in 08 from Ike. Right. They lost a lot of very large old pear trees that split from the winds.
Yeah.
So they seem to be a little, for lack of a better term, dirtier too, the fruit tree varieties do versus the hardwood types. Mm-hmm. So. Mm-hmm. That's really it. We're just asking for support and some kind of a plan that we can get together, everybody agrees on, and hopefully improve the look of the community as a whole. And
okay, let me see if the trustees have any comments, and then I'll ask for any other comments.
I agree with everything you said. I lived over in Genoa Farms previously, so I know we had the street trees over there. And I don't know what kind of trees those were, but
I'm pretty sure they're both maples. I've driven through and looked at them. I'm almost positive. I mean, I'm not expert, but I believe they are.
Okay. I guess my only question or concern would be, are there any irrigation systems? Are there any invisible fences? Utilities, do we know? Are there any obstructions in those?
Yeah, and that's the one thing I did point out in the initial email of Joe as far as our very tentative plans was. You're required in the state of Ohio before you dig anything to get utilities marked. They come out and do gas and water and electric and all that. As far as personal property and whether I have irrigation, whether it interferes, I mean, if you got to plant a tree, if you're going to plant a tree, you'd either move the pipe, it's not that difficult to do. So sure. Irrigation, invisible fence. Typically, invisible fences are on the inside of the property line. They're not in the park strip.
That's
so that's
what I figured.
Typically
I
not a... But irrigation might be, but that's going to be on an individual basis, house to house. Okay. And I don't think a majority of the homes in Vinmar have irrigation.
So is the initial thought, would the township incur the initial planting cost and then going forward?
The way we're looking at it right now is the community as a whole would just pitch in.
Okay.
We've got a couple contractors that are submitting bids. I have one that we've already gotten an initial idea on. But we just basically grassroots go door to door and knock on door. And we've got an email system within Vinmar that we can notify everybody and let them know what's going on.
And then moving forward, would it be the HOA or would it be the individual homeowner that's responsible for maintenance?
Well, I guess that's a good question for you. We're assuming it's individual because I've lived in other neighborhoods with street trees, and it was always the plantings on your property were your responsibility.
Sure.
Was that the case down here in Genoa Farms?
That was never clarified to me. I mean, I would always mulch around that tree just to do it.
Yeah. Common sense to me just says it's the homeowner's property. I mean, you're responsible for the sidewalk. You're responsible to mow it. It's your tree. You take care of it. Mm-hmm. If there's standards that are incorporated into the zoning, then that can be enforced through the HOA. I mean, we enforce the HOA rules now through the email system that we have. So people are usually very good about abiding things, for everything from mowing their lawn to keeping their trash cans in the garage. Mm-hmm. So I don't see that side of it being a big issue. And typically people want to keep their properties up anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, I think similar questions. I'm a big fan of having trees. I'm not opposed to that by any means. I encourage those. I think a lot of the same questions Rick had. I have a couple other issues. I know there are some times, and Bob, I experienced it, I think, from time to time with snow plows and some other the township vehicles, the closeness as they grow out, knocking off mirrors and things like that. That would be something to look at. But I think working with Joe and making sure, if it's done, it's done properly. It looks consistent.
And to address the vehicle issue, we've done some pretty decent research. We could do it specifically species type, but a lot of times on the maples, especially with our park strip being so wide, we can set them off the road quite a bit further than a typical, I think even Genoa Farms is. And generally speaking, a maple is not going to grow horizontally. They grow typically vertically. And if in the pruning instructions, we maintain that spec, whatever that termination is, over time, you're going to have plenty of clearance over the top. Now, backing into a tree or whatever, I mean, that could happen anywhere. I heard about the basketball thing, which, to me, the homeowner leaving the basketball thing out by the street is kind of their, no-no. But I think that's the benefit of Vinmar, is that we do have a large park strip, and you got a lot of play there to be able to place the tree. And I think the issue of it impeding into the street, damaging vehicles, would be very minimal at best and easily remedied with proper pruning.
So. I think the other issue is, as Rick alluded to, the ongoing maintenance. I mean, being able to address that through the homeowners association, so in the event that a tree dies, someone
the
moves
HOA,
out.
Yeah, we could address that in the HOA.
So it is pretty clear how that is being handled. Yeah. I would imagine, Joe, we have some sample language that we could use.
And you're probably going to have on planting this big, you're probably going to have a 5% minimum die-off, I would say, on average, which in 1 year, that's easy. They're replaced anyway.
You usually get a replacement.
Yeah, you get a one-year warranty on them. But, going back to the actual species again, it is a very hardy tree. I mean, I've tried to kill maples by accident, and you can't kill them. So I've got one in my backyard, a crimson maple. It's a real dark-leafed one. And it's actually in a very wet area, and it's it's doing well. Not as good as it could be in a better area, but it's doing well enough. So they're pretty hardy trees.
Question I have, probably more for Paul or Joe or Bob. Who's responsible right now for the sidewalks? Is that the township?
Property.
It's a property owner. Okay.
And that was kind of my other default, too. I know that the sidewalks are your responsibility for maintenance. So, once again, I think you're talking about a time period. Oh, it's not?
It's the homeowners.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean, us. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I meant to say the property owner. It's a property owner's requirement to maintain the sidewalk, whether it gets damaged or whatever. I think the potential is so far down the road anyway. We're talking decades, literally, for them to get so large. And the species we're looking at, they're not a 100-foot tree. I mean, they're a 30, 35, 40 max. So, and I know that those trees have been in the ground for probably, what, 7 or 8 years now?
Yeah, well, yeah, because we were fourth house in, so that was in 02, I think. Yeah, yeah. 8 years.
Yeah.
And you're right. And, well, at least those ones, you're right. They're more vertical. They don't even extend to the road, so.
And we, like I said, we do a little bit more research, but I think we're all going to stick to probably the Celebration or a Sunset. We had them. I lived at Meadows of Cheshire prior to moving to Denmark. And we had Sunsets placed in that neighborhood by Dominion. Dominion planted those, and they were good growers, never had a problem with them. And really in the fall was their best time, obviously, because the whole neighborhood was red. But it does add a lot of character and value, in my opinion. And like I said, I'm looking at it from, we're just trying to beautify the, you know,
sure,
the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. And when you drive into Venmar, I'm not afraid to say it, it's boring. I mean, it really is. And we're getting better on the green spaces. I think the pond's finally, you know, looking better. Everything's starting to settle in, but there's just that one piece that's missing. So that's all I want to say. I appreciate the time and would appreciate the support.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I'd like to get some input from Mr. Bob Matthews or Mr. Paul Wise. I think you had something you wanted to add.
The only concern that I have and was trees coming down into the road and hitting our trucks. But if they get some that's not like some of the subdivisions we got now, the fruit trees and Bradford pears, mm-hmm, they tend to grow out instead of up. But the maples all do grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it'll be some time before you'll see any sidewalk damage or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the only concern that I had was getting the right species and planting it right.
Okay. So you could live with what Mr. Dillon said, okay?
Another comment that I would have is that the township is going to be under some serious standards on signage in the next few years, and all
from
of our road signs, uh-huh, have to be up to a certain standard, and especially a sight distance. So the plantings closest to stop signs should really be investigated, because there needs to be an adequate distance that you see from the point of the stop sign, and I don't know how many hundred feet it is, but that might interfere with somebody's tree in their property if they live near a stop sign. And secondly, I like trees in the neighborhood, but you might want to consider, I don't know, alternative trees too, in addition to the maples. If there's a blight that occurs, it doesn't wipe out the entire crop in one neighborhood. And I maybe model the plan after something that Westerville has. I don't know if they go with a variety of trees or one particular tree in one neighborhood. Gary, did you have any comment concerning fire trucks?
I would just probably echo the same as Bob Matthews has said, and in some of the responses that I've seen from the emails from Joe, they seem to understand that the trees cannot grow into the street, that we need the vertical clearance, just like mm-hmm, we can do quite a bit of damage on a piece of fire apparatus, you know, from branches of trees, that the trees they pick do indeed grow up and not necessarily out until they're, you know, at a 18-foot height or something like that. But I'd almost like to see if the homeowners association could write into their declaration or something about the fact that they have to be stay trimmed out of the street. So when that does come up as an issue that the homeowner understands that they're responsible for that, so we don't end up scraping them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's possible, but just a suggestion.
Okay.
And I forgot another thing, too. The regulatory signs within a subdevelopment also need to be visible with sight distance. So if you're entering Venmar or around the circle anywhere where there's a speed limit sign, those also have to be visible mm-hmm. by a certain distance. So mm-hmm. these are all factors that need to be considered.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, not to interrupt, but I mean, we've obviously got other subdivisions with trees and signage, and I mean, can we just model it after what subdivisions are working well?
Some work better than others.
Okay.
I know down in Eagle Trace, there's a big problem with the placement of their trees, where some of their trees were planted right in front of stop signs, and you know, we had to have the developer come back and move those because, you know, mm-hmm. it was going to kill somebody the way they planted them. We weren't able to see the trees as you were approaching, the stop signs as you were approaching them.
Mm-hmm. Most of the other subdivisions, I don't think we ever looked at that before.
Okay.
There are a lot of subdivisions that's got trees blocking signs and stuff that you can't see that's not supposed to. But with the new sign regulations, we're going to have to address that.
Okay. And those sign regulations are they from the state or the county?
State standard.
State standard, yeah.
Our maintenance department is very good at plowing snow, very good at road maintenance, mm-hmm. but we trim trees like we carve meat. So
you may. Yeah, I have heard of some.
So maintenance, we would probably best be leaving up to the homeowner.
Trimming. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Any other public comment regarding trees? Come on, Mr. Dillon, go ahead. We have the meetings are always on audio, so we need everybody to come up to the mic.
All I was going to yell was the enforcement side of it can easily be done through the internet. So that part of it, I think, at least puts that to rest. But Venmar is kind of, you know Venmar. It's a loop, basically. I think we have two, maybe five stop signs. No, seven stop signs, because there's two courts, the two loops with two, and then the front when you come in. So that's at least nice. We don't have a bunch of stop signs. But tree placement on the corners, I did read that somewhere. There is typically a standard, and we could get assistance from landscape architects. I actually have a friend whose sister graduated from OSU, so she could get us standards, typical state standards. But like I said, enforcement, trimming, all that can be done through the HOA. Very easily.
Sounds great.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, it's up to us whether we want to defer or make a motion, or do we need more information? What's the pleasure of the board then?
I mean, I think in principle we're all fine with it. I think it's just the devil's in the details, just working out those things down the road. So
working with Joe.
Exactly. So I'm just trying to.
Who should they work with? Is it Joe or Bob or both or Scott? Scott said he'd walk through.
Scott Downing.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Scott. Yeah.
Isn't that going on now?
Yeah, that's right. Nothing's happening in zoning now. Yeah.
That's part of why we brought it, or we asked the residents to bring it to you guys. Was the process typical for work within the right of way is that it's per lot, and it's something that we could probably inspect each one. If there's a standard, if we get called before the tree's placed, maybe it's set in the right-of-way close to where they're going to put it, and then we're able to make comments at that time before it's put in the ground, that would be, in my mind, an appropriate condition. And then instead of this application could be approved in a larger sense, but in a way, instead of them having to fill out a piece of paper each time they're coming in to plant a tree,
mm-hmm.
They could just request that maintenance or, that one of us goes out, takes a look at it, and says, you know, this isn't going to be an issue. It's going to be periodic, and it's not going to be one day all the trees show up, is my understanding. So is that an accurate statement?
Well, yeah. It could be if we get enough people involved and the guy buys at the right time, we could literally have them all put in, or a lot of them put in at once. So,
okay.
But that would be kind of nice in a way we can knock it all out at one time.
Sure. And in that case, just if they're placed in the right-of-way or that they're set there, that we just come out and comment at that time. And we got the tools that we could comment and just leave you a note on each tree and say, okay, and you know, something like that. So in my mind, that would be an appropriate condition to move forward so that the nitty-gritty stuff of it could be worked out down the road.
Okay.
I have one more question. I'm so sorry. I think you said it was 80% are great with it.
Yeah.
If there's, you know, one or two people that are just stubborn, I don't want a tree, don't want to have to deal with it. I mean, do they have that option to not do it?
Go ahead, Mr. Sorry. That's I've got it.
Can you hear me from there? Or you go over again?
You better go up again because
I'm,
I don't know that they
I'm
can
sorry.
On the audio.
Yeah.
We can.
Just
stay up there until.
I'll just over here get it because
you can't. I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's not going to be mandatory, but we are going to encourage maximum participation because obviously it benefits everybody.
Sure.
But no, one of the things we made very clear, because we had a couple of people say, well, you know, not that they weren't for it, but they were like, well, we may not be able to do it right now, whatever. It's not going to be mandatory.
Okay.
But we have a large percentage of people right now that are for it, so I think it's going to be pretty close to full participation. And then, like I said, what I'm going to do with Dominion, since there's about 12 lots left, I'm going to contact them and try to work with them directly to include that tree in their build package.
Great. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
Was there another comment? Yes, Kevin. Thank you.
Kevin Clark, 6166 Charmar. He mentioned a price. I haven't heard anything about what the caliper is of the tree, height. Normally, if you do a zoning and you're saying, I want this big of a tree to show up, I haven't heard what they get for $120. It's going to be a little bunch of little trees that the neighborhood 8-year-old can hang on and break. Ohio State years, really dating myself, I think it was 84.
Uh-huh.
Columbus put all these new trees up along High Street, and then 3:00 in the morning, all the drunks broke every one of them off. You know, it's not that there's a bunch of drunks in Denmark.
Yeah, no.
It's really bad for Halloween.
Yeah.
Parents driving
their
kids around.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, you know, we have a minimum size. Normally, the zoning, you have a minimum size caliper you want to see.
Okay, right.
I don't know what you get for $120.
I didn't comment on it. The price we got is, I believe, a 10 to 12. Jen, was that it?
At least a
10 foot. At least a 10 foot. So we're not talking a stick at all. We're talking about a big, pretty big tree. I can't remember what the ball size, but there's like a standard they use. It's not just the trunk, but it's also the ball size. Yeah, so they're all going to average between 10 up to 12 foot, somewhere around there. The prices we got were through Acorn, which is a division of Oakland.
Sure.
And we can get really, it's a long story, but I know how we can get the bundle deal from those guys.
Okay.
But it's a fairly substantial tree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Thanks. Doing laps. Sorry to kind of keep.
Yeah. Or at least a joke.
All right. Yeah. Okay. That sounds good. I believe Mr. Gephardt has a motion.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I make a motion that that we allow Vinmar to proceed with the plan for planting of the trees, working in close cooperation with Joe and other staff as appropriate here in the township, and that they come up with a plan which outlines approximately how many people initially will go ahead and do it, the preferred species, caliper size, and present that to you. You sign off on it, report back to us, give us a little timeline, and we move. And we can move forward based on your recommendation.
Okay, is there a second to the motion?
I'll second that.
Is there a discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfonia?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. New business, please.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Fire. I jumped ahead. Sorry.
Good evening.
Good evening, Chief.
Just a couple pretty quick items. The first one is a request that you entertain a motion to accept the resignation of Doug Walters effective March 1st of 2010. Doug joined the fire department in 1999, and he now has kids in Ohio State University, and He's taken a part-time job with the university to offset some tuition costs, so he's not able to meet the minimum requirements, but he was an excellent employee, and I ask that you accept his resignation.
All right, I'll entertain a motion to do so.
Madam Chair, I'll motion to regretfully accept the resignation of part-time firefighter Doug Walters, effective March 1st, 2010.
Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion. Firefighter Walters has served, since 1999 as a volunteer. He has long and distinguished service, so we're sorry to lose him, but we understand.
Right here.
Yes.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye. Quick question, Chief.
Sure.
Now, will there be a posting for this opening, or how will that vacancy be handled?
We actually have a list already created that's good for a year, so we're going to hold off and see how our scheduling goes. If our scheduling keeps up as it has been, then we won't even need to fill that position. So,
okay.
Thank you. Next order of business is I ask that you entertain a motion to accept a check in the amount of $3,000 from the Department of Public Safety. This is a training and equipment grant for the EMS division.
Okay, is there a motion to do so?
Madam Chair, I make a motion to accept $3,000 from the Department of Public Safety for training and equipment for the fire department. The fiscal officer is authorized to deposit the grant money into the fire fund.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you. Maintenance, any report? No. Okay. Development, zoning. Good timing.
I have one item. We have a 8 p.m. hearing. I might ask before I start the other item, is anyone here specifically for the hearing if we held that off till the end of the meeting? Would anyone object? Just to make sure that we're not recessing. If that's the pleasure of the board, maybe to wait until the end of the meeting versus recessing to open a public hearing in the middle of the meeting.
Okay.
I might just recommend that.
Okay.
Since that's a separate set of minutes and separate business.
Okay.
The one item I did have was a business retention program. We've been working in our staff to meet with businesses, find out their needs. My prior employment with the Union County Economic Development Partnership, we met with businesses pretty regularly to both find out how things are going and also see how the local jurisdiction can help out, other businesses can help out in their general operation to try to make sure we have healthy and vibrant businesses in the township, and also businesses that will identify us as go-tos for questions so that we can help out before a business might relocate, move to a different place, expand a different location, or just close. I presented a copy of a letter that we were hoping to send out on behalf of the trustees to include the trustees in the program. We had worked with the Genoa Township Business Association, which is about a year old now, and in the process of talking with them, we had talked about the idea that we wanted the partnership to form between Genoa Township and the Business Association in these visits so that we can include both public and private sector. The retention visits have six goals that I've outlined in the handouts that I've given you. Retain local businesses, facilitate expansion, expand the tax base, address critical issues, encourage local entrepreneurs, and empower community ambassadors. Try to get more businesses to come here. The best way is to educate the businesses that are here about the assets that are available so that they can help better explain those to other businesses that are wanting to come in. There's a list of questionnaires that are included there. There's a program called Executive Pulse that we participate in through the Delaware County that's actually administered by the Columbus Chamber. In our economic development efforts, we work with Gus Comstock, the County Economic Development Director. He would work with us to identify state resources that might be available, and we'd also want to include him in some of the visits. The biggest thing with retention is building a strong team. that can help businesses. So even though that person might not be on the visit, the hope would be that we could have our local leaders, both elected and appointed, to go out and try to field questions. The big thing that comes out of these is typically about a half a dozen issues. I know when we've been out, some of them are signage. Frost Road businesses have concern that a lot of people don't know they're there. Northgate's the same way. Chandler's the same way. We run into issues about drainage. A lot of things that businesses really just aren't going to come to anyone and complain about because they don't know who to talk to. But the problem is that they might talk to that other business that wants to locate next to them. So what we found is it's a little bit better that we can actually reach out to them and try to take care of those issues. It does generate more work for us, but it's work we're going to be doing anyhow. What it does through the program is it just kind of prioritizes it based on those visits. So I presented a listing of 20 businesses, some of our larger employers that we wanted to try to target in 2010. Like I said, we've been meeting with businesses, a team of two to three, depending on who's available, to kind of go out and talk about issues. I've also been working with our lieutenant fire inspector, Craig Skeel, in doing inspections through the fire department, which is fun because they find out at the end of the visit that I'm a zoning inspector. But it is very educational, too. I gain a new insight by being in those. And likewise, I figure other department heads and trustees will as well. I never knew what Orton did until I actually have one of their little widgets on my desk that they throw in the urn. So that's very empowering to us, too, to know what businesses do so that when we do get complaints or when we do have issues that we can try to work with them to resolve them more efficiently, too. So that's my presentation. I think from the major aspect, I don't know what type of issues we're going to run into, but I can tell you the ones that we've had, you have some you solve, some you don't solve, some that will stick around for a while. But what I'd like to do is develop an inventory of the problems that are going to stick around for a while and eventually find a solution. Some of them we're not going to be able to solve in a year. It's just trying to work with the business to try to understand it a little better so that if there does a solution does come up, we can work with them to resolve it. County commissioners also expressed interest in kind of meeting with our local businesses, so I expect the program to not just be the township but also the county. And likewise, there might be other entities that want to participate too.
Great. And it's a partnership between Genoa Township Development and Zoning and the business associations. So sounds like a great idea. Mm-hmm. So the trustees will be going with you. Not all of us at one time, right. But I mean,
we'll be rotating.
Trustee,
out,
yes. Uh-huh.
The goal this year will be to do 2 to 3 a month, and I'd ask you guys to rotate. And if you hit 3 1 month, might give you 3 months off or however that works. So, but the idea would be we want to rotate so that we will be revisiting businesses eventually, and we'll try to rotate the team so they're not consistently seeing the same people as well. Mm-hmm. But it'll be in conjunction with the business association. They stated that they'll also send an officer along, not necessarily just to recruit members, but to also talk about what the association can do for them, even if they're not a member. They have been getting active with advocacy and trying to reach out on issues, so we're hopeful that that private sector partner will help them as well.
Mm-hmm. Great. Any comments? Any other comments?
Joe, especially down on Chandler, are there any vacancies down there? Are there any?
Yes.
What is our situation around? I mean, I know up in Northgate we have some, there's some open storefronts up there.
Sure.
But I wasn't sure about Chandler.
Vacancy, 5 to 10%. 5%, that's a pretty healthy rate. You want to have some vacancies, otherwise everybody's dying to get in, but they can't. We have plenty of places like the place, I think it's Pet People, that's in there by Home Depot, that there's never been anyone there.
Right.
And we'd love to see those places occupied. We've also had proposals that have been approved, like the Silvestri Homes, where they couldn't find a co-tenant, so the building never came to light. So some of that stuff would be meeting with prospective businesses and talking to them about how can we help you and trying to facilitate getting somebody in there with you. We've always had a listing of what's available. We've formalized it, put it in writing, and the business association is actually posting that on their website. So we provide that to them as public information, and they're using it, even though some of those properties that are zoned commercial or industrial that are empty or vacant may not be marketed. They're still listed on their website as a resource. So that's helping us, because if I ever get a question, somebody's not able to develop a commercial business on a property because of zoning issues or development restrictions, or they just can't get property owner consent, we've been able to give them that resource and say you can go work with the business association to maybe look at other options. And that's been pretty successful. I know from the zoning perspective, a lot of stuff that comes through the zoning commission, you really want to see it come to light by the time they went through two or three hearings, and to not see anything go through with it. Sometimes that's discouraging. We had a coffee shop open up that closed doors mm-hmm. within 6 months.
Yeah.
And some of that stuff, you just want to try to make more resources available to them.
The new business, and at least there's a new sign there on Maxtown. Is it the warehouse? It's the one right next to the J Company, just east
yes.
of J. Yes,
the old Precision Printing. Yeah, they had...
The other side, going east of J Company, where the
Hassie.
House...
Oh, Hassie, yeah.
Hassie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that a new business that's gone in there, or is that just a new sign that's gone in there?
New sign. Okay. If you recall, actually, Barb's probably the one will recall, we had an issue with getting sewer to the property. Okay. They had established a while ago, and it took them a long time to become compliant with zoning to the point where we could issue them a sign permit. So
okay.
they're just now getting their sign.
All right.
But that's another one. I believe yeah. that they had talked about trying to lease out a portion of that building as well. So okay. That might be something that, or if they eventually relocate or anything like that too, trying to work with them.
All right. Joe, I think this is a pretty solid list of initial businesses to target. I guess my only question would be just what will be the rhyme or reason going forward for the future waves of visits?
From my experience and also the experience that was shared with me by Delaware County was businesses usually come and ask after a certain point. And the other one is if we haven't seen them in a long time or we know they might be facing problems. It's kind of sad because we'll usually hear rumors that a business is facing issue, but there's no real program to offer them or a step out. This is just a way to say, hey, let us come visit with you for an hour. We might not be any help, we might be help, but... the other one is home occupations. As we become aware of home occupations, it, especially as they're expanding, it may be something to sit down with them and have them understand zoning constraints on their property, how it can work for them, how it can work against them,
sure.
and also some of the available spaces that we have so that if they want to expand their home occupation into a commercial center, that might be available down okay. the road.
I guess I just want to be sensitive about if you've got three or four businesses in close proximity to each other and you've hit the two end units but you didn't talk to the guys in the middle and they're
sure.
like,
yeah,
they're not feeling the love. You know, I want to make sure that we're at least
yeah.
maybe doing it by proximity or trying to.
Sure. Yeah, the idea would be this list was a target list, mm-hmm. but if anyone contacts us with the idea that they wanted to be included, we'll also mention that to businesses at the end of the interview is, do you have a recommendation for other businesses that you've talked to that would benefit from this program? And I could bet you there's going to be a lot.
I think we've come up to 8 o'clock, Joe, but it's because you were asked questions.
Sure.
It's not your fault.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
No, I don't need a vote or anything. I just wanted to make sure that you guys were aware of it, and I do appreciate
Thank
the
you.
Questions.
No, thanks.
So
I like that. I'm glad you presented it to us, too. That, definitely. All right.
Thank you.
We can... There's
some major typos.
Mr. Wise has 1 minute to go through about.
That's right, I can do it.
All right, go ahead.
First off, 14 garden plots left. They're going fast, so get your order in now. Secondly, Bob mentioned to me that the spring cleanup has been scheduled for May 2nd to May 9th. Please mark your calendars and bring
okay.
Bob your junk. He'll let you know what's acceptable or not, same as last year. Next on my list is the Easter egg hunt report. Unfortunately, due to the weather last
short.
Week, the
yeah.
Easter egg hunt had to be canceled. The field was under 2 inches of water. We had snow on it Friday morning, and then the snow melted, and it would have made a nice splash pad, but unfortunately, it wasn't very good for an Easter egg hunt. So it has been rescheduled for this Saturday. The games will start at 10 a.m., and the Easter egg hunt will begin right at 11 o'clock, and we'll be over at 11.
Oh, one.
Also.
That's right. Right, right. Really.
Secondly, we have another citizen who has expressed an interest to become a member of a committee of the township, the Technical Advisory Board. This citizen has a very, very strong resume. He's been working with IBM since 1998. Mm-hmm. He's an author. He's got a very nice degree in information technology. His name's Christopher Gombola, and he would like the board's
like the board to please put him on the technical advisory board.
Okay. Do I hear a motion to do so?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to appoint Christopher Gambola as member of the Genoa Township Technical Advisory Board. Do we have to do a term? Are these termed appointments?
2 year term.
For a 2 year term commencing April 1st, 2010.
Commencing in 2 years, or ending in 2 years.
Ending in 2 years.
Ending April 1st, 2012. Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Secondly, back last month or the month before, the township made a motion to purchase some cruiser cams. The company name that was approved was incorrect. Therefore, we'd like to rescind that resolution. And then, secondly, I'd like to get the correct purchase order in place to then purchase those cameras correctly.
Okay, I'll move to rescind resolution number 10-0204004. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
And then we need a motion. I'll make that motion to approve a purchase order to Inside Public Sector in the amount of $30,722.76 for 6 cruiser video cameras and setup programming that work. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Great. If you've noticed, the grass is starting to grow outside. Therefore, this is a season. We need to hire some seasonal employees to be prepared for that grass-growing season. We lost one of our seasonal employees, Mr. Stelzer, this past year. He's gone to work for the Columbus Police Department. So those are big shoes to fill. We do have 4 employees to hire at this time that recommend to the board. The first is Mr. Ryan Herman. You can make note in a motion that his hourly rate would be $10 per hour. He would be commencing work on May 1st or shortly thereafter.
Okay.
Secondly, Mr. Ralph Spinozzi. Mr. Spinozzi would be an adult seasonal employee. The other 3 are still in school, either college or one's graduating high school. Mr. Spinozzi is an adult who holds a CDL and is able to help Mr. Matthews if there's need for a dump truck driver. So his rate would be $12 per hour, and he would like to start on April 19th. Next, down below, the young man is Luke Atkinson. You probably recognize that name. He's a son of a former trustee. Would like to start Luke at $10 per hour, beginning May 1st, 2010. And Mitch, I'm not sure how to say his name, Vacherisi, $10 per hour. I'm sorry, did I botch that Italian name, Rick?
You tell me. You're 100%. I'm only half.
That's true. But I'm part Appalachian, too. Okay. So. Mitch would be $10 per hour, and his starting date would be May 1st, 2010. So all these employees, their applications and their qualifications have been reviewed by the Human Resource Department, and I recommend their hiring. Mr. Myers, did you have a question?
Yeah, on Luke Axel, actually, on the notes I have, it says he's available June 7th. Should
okay.
Be, you said May 1. Should that be June 7th?
Make that June 1st at that point.
June 1st for Luke Atkinson, May 1st for Mitch.
Yes.
And Ray Herman, what the starting date?
419.
419.
And the other one's 5-1.
419.
5-1, 419, 6-1, 5-1.
Okay.
Sorry, Paul.
Is this a rehire on...
Ryan Herman and Ralph?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
They were, both of those individuals were working with the township last year.
Okay. Okay. I see. Okay. Is there a motion to do so?
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to rehire the following buildings and grounds employees. Ryan Herman at $10 an hour, starting date of May 1st, and Ralph Spinosi, rate of $12 per hour, starting date of April 19th.
Is there a second?
Seconded. I'll defer to you,
discussion,
Madam Chair.
Discussion, yeah, discussion.
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Parfaloni.
Aye. Madam Chair, I'll motion to hire the following seasonal buildings and grounds employees. Luke Atkinson at $10 per hour with a start date of June 1st, 2010. And Mitch Vaccarisi, okay, at $10 per hour with a start date of May 1st, 2010.
I'll second that. Is there a discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Parfaloni.
Aye.
Motion carries. Okay.
Thank you, Board. Next is a request to approve the BWC leave for an officer in the township to convert 48 hours of sick leave to BWC leave.
Okay. I'll move to approve Bureau of Workers' Compensation leave for Police Officer Darren Hutchison for an injury dated January 26, 2010, and convert 48 hours of sick leave to Bureau of Workers' Compensation leave. Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfani.
Aye.
And lastly, just a request this evening for a purchase order that's over the $2,500 limit for Buckley King.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to do so.
Madam Chair, I'll make a motion to approve a purchase order to Buckley King in the amount of $7,929.40 for legal expenses.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
Discussion? All in.
Roll call. Sorry. Mr. Gebhardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfani?
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you. Quickly, announcements. Offices are closed April 5th, 2010 for Easter. And yes, right, okay. And there is a Parks Advisory Board meeting on April 15th at 7 p.m. And the next regular trustee meeting is also on April 15th at 7 p.m. Are there any other announcements anybody else would like to make?
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes, yes, go ahead. Is this the
right time? Yeah, absolutely. Yes, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry for the wait.
Oh, not a problem. Hi, my name is Barb McVeigh. I'm 10046, blah, sorry, been a long day. Galena Point here in Genoa Township, so it was nice to sit down on my big part.
Oh, hi.
Yes. Real quick, I am going to give a quick little spiel about Big Walnut. The levy that's coming up on May 4th, just asking voters to support us, a 7.5 mil operating levy. It's going to prevent further cuts with teachers and staff and programs. This district has grown roughly 10% over the past 3 years, and although you know, we've grown that much, we've been getting cuts in our state and local funding from federal as well. That's all been reduced. We've already cut 1.8 million. In the 2009-2010 year, planning on cutting in the 2010-11 year another 1.5 million. So we're making some pretty substantial, substantial cutting to the bone here. If it doesn't pass, we're looking at another 2.9 million having to be cut, and that will greatly affect the property values. It'll have a negative impact on the culture of the Big Walnut community in general, and again, that economic value that we have in our homes. We all know that school districts are tied. We don't want to become another Southwest school district. School districts are tied to the community and vice versa. So this is just a little quick thing to remind y'all, if you are Big Walnut, I know Genoa Township encompasses more than that, please vote for the levy or come out and vote anyway. want more information, I have a little handout, if that's allowed. I didn't know.
Sure.
And also you can check out the website is actiontobenefitchildren.org. So thank you all very much. And I hope that was less than 30 seconds. I was trying to be.
Oh, very, very good.
Thank you all very much.
Thank you, Barb. Appreciate that. I know the levy was failed, I think, just what, by 40?
41 votes.
Very close. So it's yeah, these elections are close. So. Mm-hmm. Okay. Any other announcements? So now we will adjourn this meeting in, or no, recess, sorry. We're going to recess. I'll entertain a motion to recess the meeting at 8:11 p.m. for our zoning meeting. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Seconded.
And discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gebhardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis.
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna.
Aye.
Sure. I'm sorry about the business retention plan. Did you know if you guys get any comments on the business retention plan? Could you pitch for me briefly?
Sure. Let me take a quick look at it.
Okay.
So I think we'll look at our letter.
Do you want some handouts if anybody was interested?
Sure.
Thank you. Yes. Oh, yes. I remember. Yes. Thanks. Thanks for coming. Is it on? Okay. I'd like to...
call to order the zoning meeting, special zoning meeting of the Genoa Township Board of Trustees on April 1st, 2010 at 8:20 p.m. And we're here tonight to consider text amendments, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Let me ask Vicki, can you read the legal description? Maybe that'll help. The legal notice. Okay, we're here to Delaware. Okay. I'll read it as the meeting was advertised. The Genoa Township Board of Trustees will hold a public hearing on April 1st, 2010 at 8 p.m. at the Genoa Township Community Hall, located here, in order to consider a recommendation made by the Genoa Township Zoning Commission, which is a proposed amendment to the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution. The proposed amendment included three major highlights. It's the addition of section 608 and 708 regarding minimum floor area requirements, along with removal of minimum square footage requirements in 602.12 and 705.18, and reference single family attached and common wall, also removing the reference from single family attached and common wall minimum square footage in 808. Correct references to the adoption process as defined in plan districts. Also changed text references from clerk to fiscal officer, and we also listed out the pages that would be affected there in the legal notice. The text or proposed amendment has been posted on the website. It was heard by Delaware County Regional Planning Commission in, it would have been in February 25th, and then it was heard later than by
March 8th
by the Zoning Commission. The amendments are pretty much housekeeping, with the exception that they're actually errors. Some of them are errors. The items that were covered under number one were errors. When we went through the process with Delaware County Regional Planning Commission, I think it was 6 months ago, we adopted a zoning resolution that there were conflicting minimum square footage requirements in the rural residential and the suburban residential. They were also mentioned in the general standards. So instead of going to the stricter, which was what's been interpreted in the zoning code and what's been enforced over the last so many years, regional planning had just left what was already in the district and not brought forward the references from the general standard. And the impact of that was that the minimum square footage was slightly altered, and also we lost the requirement for an attached two-car garage. So we're putting those back in, and those are the most notable changes. The other references that were, those were internal references to the document that were made in there. And
clerk to fiscal officer. I think we missed that with the last amendments as well. So the claim that we made the last time was that we weren't changing zoning as it applied to property in the township. This time we're not changing zoning as it applies to land in the township, with the exception that we're trying to fix what was aired in that statement the last time. Okay. And we've worked with the code for 6 months. We kind of purposely did not pursue the comprehensive plan implementation yet, because we knew there were going to be some changes. Anytime you overhaul 200 pages of text, you're going to have some stuff you got to clean up. But we're confident these are the changes that we need to address prior to moving forward.
Okay. Any questions, trustees?
Joe. On the proposed section 608 minimum floor area requirements. 1,100 square feet for a one story, 1,200 for a story and a half, 1,400 for two story. This seems, how many houses currently in the township are at that level?
Yeah, most far exceed it. It's mainly because of our property values and also the minimum lot size requirements.
How did that number come about? Why is that number what it is?
They're pretty typical of zoning. There's a model zoning district, or a model zoning code that was enacted in most townships in the state. It was after the Ohio model zoning. It was actually called the Ohio model zoning code. As that evolved, each county, each jurisdiction changed theirs. These may have been slightly altered, but that's the original language as it came. The original one had just had, as the districts have here stated, that it was a specific square footage period. Genoa Township at some point incorporated the difference for a two-story, and those probably to resolve issues of concern of somebody that had questioned that, and rightfully so. We'll continue to change the code when we have concerns over minimum square footage. But yeah, we don't see a lot of the minimums today. But they're also there for an allowance, so that if someone did want to build a smaller home, we'd also permit that.
Because I know that was an issue that I think was raised on the east side of the reservoir, and we were looking at the conservation
Correct.
Issue. There was a concern, mm-hmm. rightfully or wrongfully, it was a perception that people would build much smaller homes than were typical for that area. I think when you do look what the property values are, the cost of purchasing a building lot, the likelihood of that happening is less. But it did raise an interesting point why it was at such a level when the typical house in the township is well above that standard level.
So we've had no minimums?
We had minimum that was listed in there. These were always enforced. What we're proposing has always been enforced. The minimum that was been listed for the last 6 months was 1,100 square foot. It was also mentioned in the article. What we lost was the two-car garage requirement, and then also the flexibility for different, so a split level, a two-story, that they have different square footage requirements.
Okay, other questions? Okay, ready for a motion then. Pardon?
When is public comment?
Oh, I'll entertain public comment.
Right now.
The public is still here. Come on, go ahead. Come on up, Kevin.
Hey, you got to swear in.
Oh, yes, you have to be sworn in.
Raise your hand, please. Swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and help God.
Okay, Kevin Clark, 6166 Turner Drive. I started my zoning career in 1995, just like Mr. Downing, with the Northland Community Council Development Committee. I was on there from 1995 to 2004. Quit when I moved.
Oh.
Can't stay there. We did all the zonings and variances for the Northland area in Columbus. I was very happy when I saw that the requirement for attached garage had been eliminated from the code. I thought Mr. Clays and I were finally getting along on something. And I shouldn't say about like that, but it was like, hey, something good happened. when they did the code. And then after the meeting last trustees meeting, I heard this was coming up, searched it out the next day and saw that attached garages are being reinserted into the code. And attached garages, while I realized they were the most popular garage, they aren't necessarily, I don't believe the township should be forcing people to have garages, attached garages. Usually, this is from May 95. I think I'd been doing zoning for 3 months when this showed up. Bye-bye, suburban dream. Reason number six, or what they thought to fix the problem was, number six, hide the garage. Most suburban houses give the appearance that they are first of all places to park, turning the world the blank and desolate face of a garage door. Neighborhoods look more pleasant when garages are put behind the houses, accessible by side yards or by alleys. And one of the zonings we did was out by New Albany, trying to get a new neighborhood set up, like similar to Clintonville. Mm-hmm. Garages in back, mm-hmm. off alleys, and ran into all kinds of people fighting that because wasn't stylish. You know, it's, people don't have a good reason for requiring attached garages. It's just they think everyone should have what they say they should have. So from that standpoint, it's, BZA just approved some house that is going to be a lot of garage. BZA just approved a house who wanted a variance and got a four-car attached garage on the side of the house. I guess it was too close to the property line. But yeah, you're going to have a house and then four doors hanging off the side of it facing the street. And you know, from the survey this gentleman did, that was something that people don't like to see. The side load garages are more popular now. But there's a problem with when the lots are not wide enough to put a side load garage in. But the first two houses, house I grew up in, put the detached garage behind the house. People can't see it. And it was, I found it very convenient. And the second reason, and when I say convenient, I also mean safe. Detached garages are much safer than attached garages. The biggest one, people, if you want to look on YouTube, put garage fire. There's lots of them out there. Tried to find some stats on it. The only thing I could come up with was a study done in 99 to 2001 or 2002 that there are 24,000 garage fires per year in the United States. And on attached garages, a lot of those spread into the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I'd say about 99 or 2000, you know, early in the internet days, there was a picture that made the rounds of all the car guys. And it was a house in Columbus where the car inside the garage had blown up. And blown out the garage door, had blown the wall into the house. Mm. And so that was another hazard of having an attached garage. The other main hazard of attached garages are fumes going from the garage into the house. You have building codes that try to alleviate. It's less than what it used to be. But some of the building codes to alleviate, to stop that, people rebelled against. Like for a time, you had to have automatic closing doors in attached garages. But people didn't like that one, so that was taken out of the International Building Code. Another thing is not only carbon monoxide, and in fact, I don't think carbon monoxide does this, it's gasoline and paint fumes. These fumes are heavier than air, so it's recommended attached garages be lower, the floor of the garage be lower than the house, because otherwise gasoline fumes will go under the door into the house. Mm. But once again, this is something that's not incorporated in the building code, because that one is the residents don't want to pay for it sometimes, and it's cheaper not to do it that way, so developers have fought that. But you know, I have no problem, and in fact, I would require a two-car garage, and for being on the zoning board, it is very important to have some garage, because people need to, you don't mm-hmm. want a bunch of cars mm-hmm. sitting out. Mm-hmm. You want right. something to put them in. But requiring it to be attached is, to me, it's mainly a safety factor. As some of you may or may not know, I've been trying to get a detached garage built in this township. I've hit bumps in the road and get it accomplished, but you know, I wouldn't mind just getting rid of my attached, turning my attached garage into more living space once I get my detached garage up. But yeah, under current code, I can't do that. Uh-huh. But yeah, I would recommend that this go back and the requirement for attached garages be stricken.
Okay. Let me. Are there questions that anyone has of Mr. Clark before?
Mr. Clark.
Okay. So right now we always require an attached garage for new builds.
We do.
Okay.
For new builds.
New builds.
For anything that's been built since 83, I think was when the standard, if I remember right, went into place.
I guess if going forward, I mean, if I bought a piece of property and I wanted to build a house, what would be the argument against if I thought aesthetically, if I would prefer to have a detached garage behind my house, what
currently it's
what's the argument against
it? It's a variance process. The argument's been made a quality of life, I think was what was listed. We have people that come through, and we have a few houses that have been proposed without garages, just that they're going to build it someday when they can afford it,
right.
That they just want to build their house. And generally, the quality of life in the township, that's what they've listed. I concur with a lot of stuff that Mr. Clark said, though. They're not necessarily always the answer. There's a lot of good developments that have happened without attached garages. My response when I saw it was missing was, oh, that's not a problem. But it is. I think the way it's been enforced in the township, to keep it consistent with the way the code's always been, we have to have that conversation probably at a planning level. Our text is adopted in accordance with the comprehensive plan. Our plan anticipated that would remain in the code and be enforced the way it had been in the past. So it could be an exploratory topic to go back and look at. But I don't think we have the, or that we should be probably adopting a code contrary to it today. So that's why it's before you today, is we found that to be an issue. It was also directed by the BZA that was an issue, that needed put back into the zoning resolution.
Joe, if I was a landowner, had a large lot, say a 2-acre lot up on Rome Corners Road,
mm-hmm.
okay, which a lot of those are up there, and I had an attached garage, but I also wanted to build another building in the back.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be necessarily a garage, but it would still have to, I mean, that would be permittable.
Yeah, it's labeled an accessory building according to the zoning resolution.
Right.
I use that as my example. My man cave is in my accessory building. Mm-hmm. I don't hang out in the attached garage too close to the wife.
Mm-hmm.
as an example, that's acceptable in today's standard. We have a maximum square footage for the accessory building, and that's generally what's been the issue for having a detached garage that might be a primary. Plus, if you're required to have the two-car attached, most people usually take advantage of that.
So I could have a two-car attached, and I could also have an accessory building behind me.
Yeah.
Regardless of when I built the house?
Regardless. Yeah. Today. That would be regardless.
So to go to Kevin's argument or issue that he raised, how does Kevin's situation compare to that scenario? What's the similarities or differences between that situation?
His proposal on his lot, or I think the context of, I think what he was talking about was more about more of the planning principle behind having an attached two-car garage.
It really doesn't have anything to do
much
with this.
To do with what's in here, because I have a house. It's,
yeah.
It's new built people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be required to have an attached garage.
Okay. Yeah. The people that are fighting automobiles, generally, and I'm not going to label you in that category, but the people that are fighting automobiles think this is horrible, that communities would require attached two-car garage. You know, we're trying to get toward biking and walking and those type things, but I think the standard that Genoa Township's had in place is that they at least want to have a two-car garage, and that the attached nature eliminates clutter. That's been generally what a lot of communities fear is that if you have detached two-car garages, they're not off alleys, they're not off those type things. Today, a developer could come through and propose those as divergences as if they were part of a development. But having this in place protects the existing communities that are already currently developing, that already have that lot layout, that configuration to provide for a two-car garage.
And most communities require the attached?
No. No. Most yes. Suburbanized communities do, but no.
Not
most
in...
Most communities
not,
do not.
Yeah, like Columbus and...
Yeah, I would say
Uptown Westerville, it's all detached garages.
Yeah. I would say Liberty Township, Orange Township, if we looked at their codes, I'd likely see those. The other communities, Berkshire, and the ones further north in the county, I don't anticipate that you would find attached two-car garages in any of their codes.
So if you unilaterally change this right now, you're saying that there's a process that we should, if in fact, this is a good idea.
Yeah.
I mean, and it really is. I mean, that's definitely gives me something to think about here. I really hadn't thought about, you know, mandating the attached versus.
I had a grown up, I already started the garage on fire. And I still remember his dad running into the fire and pulling his motorcycle out of the garage.
Yes,
but
yeah.
It was a detached garage, so it went up.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah, well, I had a fire almost start in my attached garage not that long ago, so, I mean, I know.
But when you look at the types of developments, I mean, 87% built out.
Sure.
So the type of subdivisions that would most likely go in would be on lots that really wouldn't be conducive to detached garage.
Yeah, and that's why I said the nature of the subdivisions that are developing today in the township provide for this, and that's because it's been in the zoning resolution. But there's plenty of communities around. I know mostly Powell, Delaware, Worthington, Westerville. Some have been going to alley development where it is a detached garage. And that can be reviewed, and it can be a divergence today. But it may be something we want to look at a planning level and say, As a development comes through or individually, most of the complaints we get in the office are on the rural residential lots and how dare you tell me I have to build a two-car garage on my 2 acres that I just bought. And that's where I see Kevin's arguments that, you know, it is kind of hard to tell those folks because they could probably design something very attractive.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what our variance process is there for today, and that's what I try to explain them as well. And going through that variance process, they may have 20-40 day delay in getting their permit, but they could come through, propose something that's attractive. The Zoning Board of Appeals could actually consider that.
Mm-hmm.
Today.
I guess I don't have any quarrel with requiring a garage, but I guess, and I understand too, if you buy a piece of property within a subdivision, you know, to build a spec home, you're going to want, you know, it's going to need to conform to, you know, the other homes in that neighborhood. But I guess I'm thinking, like Carl had said, if I bought property up on Rome Corners or, you know, Lewis Center Road, and, you know, if it was a narrow layout, mm-hmm. and it would just be look better, and, I mean, maybe just personal preference, I would want a detached garage. I don't know. I guess I'm kind of struggling with this one.
Well, as a go for it, I will take to the Zoning Commission the idea that maybe in the rural residential district we can look to a alternative Even through our code of revisions, if we consider some of the stuff that's in there about trying to make communities more bicycle friendly and those type of things, we might be able to come towards something that would be maybe a good compromise. And
because I see this as more applicable. I mean, yeah, we're not going to see too many more subdivisions going in, but you know, for the individual vacant lots scattered throughout the township, I think there are some.
Really not, you know, Highland Lakes type stuff. It's a non-issue. It's more of the guy who bought the empty lot someplace.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Wants to do something with it. And this is who that really affects.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if there's a way to separate. Can you make a distinction? I mean, are we allowed to, I guess, separate out those types of circumstances?
That's what our zoning districts allow, but is to separate, but if there's a conflict within a district, that's what the variance or divergence process are typically laid out for, is then the Board of Five's able to hear those. And likewise, it's not a huge burden. I know we've directed at least one resident here recently toward that process for a variance here on Big Walnut Road to build with an exception to that rule. And it's a $400 application fee. It's typically $300 for a residence. So if we did the review as part of the BZA, we wouldn't charge them the additional. So they're out an additional $100 for the, but more of it's the time. Most people that want to get a permit don't want to wait 40 days, plus have the fear that all their new neighbors are going to be in a hearing yelling at them because they're the exception to the rule. So regard, most people don't apply. They just build. But I do see the notes that were mentioned, and I concur with a lot of stuff that Mr. Clark said. I think that's something we should address at the Zoning Commission, and whether it's by district or it's a conditional use, we'll probably put them in the same boat. But we could come up with something that I'm sure might be something good for the Zoning Commission to chew on for a little while.
Okay. That's a valuable point to bring up. I do think we should probably go ahead and approve the amendments, but then bring the point up at a zoning commission meeting so it can be discussed.
We will do that. I think part of the nature of the amendments that are before you are that their housekeeping is trying to keep in keeping with what's been there before.
Right.
But I do understand the deviation from it, and I think as we go through the code here, hopefully in the next few months, that's going to be an issue that we can tackle.
That we can look at again.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's thank you for your comments, Mr. Clark. Let's move ahead then. Is there any more discussion before we make a motion? Okay.
I think there's some validity to studying this further, and I guess I don't want to see this one kind of fall by the wayside. I would like to see the Zoning Commission kind of chew on it and see if it's
I would agree.
And it's more or less just, I guess, providing flexibility to future property owners.
Right. Right.
You know, because I think there's very tasteful ways to do detached garages. Mm-hmm. I mean.
Okay. I would agree. Anyone who would like to make the motion on this?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I may move to approve the proposed amendment to the Genoa Township Zoning Resolution as recommended by the Delaware County Regional Planning Commission on February 25th, 2010, and Genoa Township Zoning Commission on March 8th, 2010, to 1. Include the addition of Section 608 and Section 708 regarding minimum floor area requirements, along with removal of minimum square footage requirements in Section 602.12 and 705.18, and reference to single-family attached or common wall minimum square footage requirements in Section 808. 2, correct header references in Article 6. 3, change text references from clerk to fiscal officer. And 4, correct various internal references throughout the document. These changes include preface 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and pages 1 through 4, 5 through 1, 6 through 2, 7, or 6 through 4. Is that 6 through 4 or 6-5? I mean,
they're done.
Okay.
It's a reference to the article and then the page, so it's not through. It'd be the.
Okay, so, Madam, I'll go back, and pages 1-4, 5-1, 6-2, 6-4, 6-5, 7-8, 7-9, 8-4, 9-16, 12-8, 13-9, 13-10, 14-8, 14-9, 18-4, 20-1, as highlighted in the attached amendments referenced and recommended by Zoning Commission March 8, 2010. This amendment will become effective May 1, 2010.
Thank you, Trustee Gephardt. Is there a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Discussion. Further discussion?
Thank you. Roll call, Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Is there any other business to come before the special zoning meeting? Then I'll make a motion to adjourn the meeting at 8:48 p.m.
Seconded.
Okay. Roll call.
Roll call. Mr. Gephardt?
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Ms. Carfagna?
Aye.
Motion carries. Special zoning meeting is adjourned, and we are back. I move to go back into regular session of the Genoa Board of Trustees at 8:49 p.m. Is there any other business to come before the board tonight?
No, ma'am.
All right. Hearing none, I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
No exact.
Okay. Second, I'll second that. Discussion? Sorry. Discussion?
Roll call, Mr. Gephardt.
Aye.
Ms. Lewis?
Aye.
Mr. Carfagna?
Aye.
Meeting adjourned at 8:50 p.m.